get into the issue of meditation, okay? Certain things to clarify. Because the question of meditation is huge, especially in today's world. The amount of meditative practices that are available, whether you go on the net or you go to any spiritual teacher, the fundamental thing they offer is some form of meditation. And there are various types of meditation meant for various things. The question is, what are you after? Something which is very popular, healing meditations. Yeah, it can work up to a point by stimulating the immune response of your body. It'll work up to a point. Okay. Energy meditations, religious meditations, non-religious, non-traditional, huge. If you look at the Chandogya, the text, not the text that I gave you, but the original one, huge amount of meditations. So the question is, what are you after? Now, it will be directly connected to your pursuit. So there can be meditations for dharma, artha, kama also. If you go to someone like Shiva Yogi, who's aware, he'll give you a lot of meditations to attract prosperity, this and that. Correct. What is done as a worship can also be done as a meditation. Or the worship very often is complemented with meditation. It's all meant to enhance what you're doing, your life, which is fine. If I'm after money and I want to do a money mantra course, fine, see if it works. One thing is true, all of them who teach it make a decent living. Mantra course is working for them. As for anyone else, why should it not work for them? If you are after moksha, then you are after self-knowledge. Mumukshitvam becomes jityasa, desire to know the truth about yourself. Now, if that is what you are after, you need a certain amount of centeredness in yourself, a contemplative mind. One part of it will be taken care of by your attitudes of Karma Yoga. That is major, that's the base. The absolute rock bottom base is the attitude of Karma Yoga in your life. From there, you have meditations which can enhance this also. You are dealing with a problematic relative, say. You'll say, prasadavati, prasadavati, prasadavati. Hota nahi yaar. I feel like backing that character and you want me to have prasadavati. You feel like backing the character and you want prasadavati. So, some of the meditation that we've been practicing in the last couple of camps was also meant to enhance this prasadavati, the sense of acceptance, etc. Why? If that is there, my mind has a natural calmness to it. A natural calmness, not something that's enforced by a practice. See, I can, as a discipline, enforce certain calmness in my mind. by sheer will of practice. Keep doing, keep doing, keep doing. Like how your automatic response in some things can become anger, for example. Well, you got habituated to it. Or the first thing you say, if you are asked to do something, requested to do something, or offered something, first thing is no, 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 no. It has become a habitual response. You are not even examined it, you are saying no right in the beginning. Whether it is to get involved in something, or whether you are being offered something, nice here, take it, acha. Pyar se deta. No, no, no. Because there is a certain amount of mechanicness, a certain pattern has been established. Similarly, as an act of will, something disturbed. Inner peace, come on. Inner peace, inner focus, focus, focus. So, almost like a default option. By years of practice, bahut gadda mazdoori karna padta. Not very often a smart thing to do. Why? That anger, etc., unresolved issues can still be there. Why does anger come, for example? Something you didn't want didn't happen. That's all. To get something you wanted, didn't happen. Or behavior of some person, what you had standard for that person doesn't behave like that. You get angry. That person even may not know, that person may not even know that that behavior is upsetting you. So, like this, whatever issues is there in the mind, dealing with that again is a psychological process. Samadham, psychological process. Which can be enhanced with meditation. Because what is the aim? To get a calm, peaceful mind with which you can know the truth. Where the truth that you know can flow into your life. The ability to pay attention, to keep your mind in one place. Why modern life is all about distraction. You're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that, you're doing 10 things at one time. So there is a certain amount of distraction. So learning to be focused, that's also part of meditation. Learning to be awareful, alert to what's happening inside. That's also part of the meditation. All this is what is necessary for moksha, I'm talking about. Other things, I'm leaving out for the time. Maybe if you want to learn about other things, some other time, some other place, whatever, or in some other context. Even medical practice, they start to talk about meditations. To calm yourself down, your BP will come down, etc. Those are all fringe benefits of the practice here. Doing the practice here, those things become fringe benefits. Stress management, fringe benefit. Okay. It automatically happens as a given. What is the problem? So these are one set of what we call preparatory meditations. And in the preparatory meditation, we'll also contemplate on Ishvara. Why? Only then Bhakti Bhava comes up. Bhakti can come up with bhajan singing. Bhakti can come up with an act of worship. Can also be invoked in meditation. What is comfortable for you? What does your mind resonate with? What's important is to have a sense of bhakti. Only then, Ishvara Arpanam, Prasada Buddhi, etc. can come into your life. Without bhakti, how will that come? This is the type of neighbor you have given me, O Lord, and you expect me to accept that idiot? Prasada Buddhi. It doesn't work. Unless that bhakti is strong. I am not saying go and become great friends with your neighbor. Let him be, he'll let him live his life, you live your life. That's good enough. So all this becomes preparatory meditation. Then all this can be done even if you are not being exposed to Vedanta. Why? Who doesn't require focus in life? Everyone requires focus. Everyone requires an ability to master that mind. So that the mind will listen to what you say. You are not carried away by the mind. Everyone requires that. A professional requires that. Soldier, sailor, tinker, tailor, all of them require that. Yeah, everyone requires that. So, these are all common preparations of the mind that can be done by anyone and everyone. Then, post listening, after you have listened to Vedanta for some time, when you have a vision, an insight into the truth, then also you meditate. Why? To own up what you know. Because very often, what I know is not available for me in my function. A small desire or a habitual behavior can hijack my knowledge. That old example, Pooja Swamiji's example, it is going on for 40 years. The poor rich man, the beggar who became rich overnight. And how that habitually reaching out for the laddu became. So that, to break that pattern, what is generally in technical terms put as dehatma buddhi. Dehe eva atma, the body itself is atma, iti buddhi. To break that pattern, you meditate. That meditation is different. You quietening the mind and recalling the essence of the teaching. I am awareness, limitless love. Bring that into your mind. This is called Nididhyasana. The other previous one can be called Dhyana, Upasana, etc. This is Nididhyasana. Two broad categories. Yeah? In terms of what we want. Some of you may be doing, for example, some Reiki meditations. The healing meditation. That's fine. That will also help you prepare your mind. Why will something like a Reiki meditation help to prepare the mind? Because there also you are calming the mind. You are focusing on the energy. So you are calm, focused. So that part of it will come into your mind. So any form of meditation will be preparatory for Vedanta. No problems. Yeah. No issue. Sudarshana Kriya, it will help you calm your mind. Good. Acha. Samadhi practice. Good. It'll help you calm your mind. So any practice for calming is fine. If you can add some psychological insights into your own mind, now this is highly personal. What is your requirement? Accordingly, you handle it. What are the issues that trouble you? In keeping with that, you handle it. Yeah. So that's what this psychological aspect you bring in to your own contemplation. So with these two broad categories, let us lay the base today in practice by simple quietening the mind first. Okay. Then we'll bring in other aspects of it. Okay. Alright, so we sit erect. that your base is comfortable. Hands, feet, etc. in comfort positions. Though meditation can be done with open eyes or any other manner, it's better to close the eyes and do it. Then we see that the whole body is relaxed. We start with, look at your facial muscles. Eyes and mouth are gently closed. No frown on your face. You are not concentrating on anything. The whole facial muscles, head muscles, relaxed. Neck, relaxed. Shoulders, arms, forearms, palms and fingers, all relaxed. They are relaxed, they should feel heavy. Chest muscles are relaxed. Stomach relaxed. Sides relaxed. Upper back, lower back, relaxed. Waist and hips relaxed. Thigh muscles relaxed. Knees, calves, ankle, feet and toes, all relaxed. Look at this body in one sweep of vision from the head to the toe. It's all relaxed. To help you quieten your mind further, pay attention to your breathing. Breathing happens. You're just witnessing the breath. To invoke the bhakta out of yourself, visualize the Lord, Ishvara, Bhagavan, in any form you can relate to. You can relate to Ishvara as a cosmic order, nothing like it. Or in any form that you can relate to. And offer a manasa puja, a mental worship. There are no rules for it, except that it should be vivid. The more vivid it is, the easier it is, the better it is. So if you're doing an abhisheka, feel the weight of the water pot in your hand. And when you are pouring the water over the Lord, feel the coolness of the water as it splashes on you as well. When you light the agarbatti, get the smell of it. See your mind being lighted up when you are lighting that lamp. Take the aarti, play it for the final aarti. Strike that match. See that camphor flaring up. Offer the aarti to the Lord. As you wave the plate around the Lord, see the Lord's face being lighted up in the flame of the camphor. Put down the plate. Take the aarti yourselves. Get the smell of the camphor. Prostrate to the Lord. And you sit down for your japa. Listen to the chant when the chant is there. Listen to the silence when the chant is not there. Om Ishaya Namaha. 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 Before the chant there is silence. After the chant there is silence. But the chant does not disturb the silence that you are. You are the one that is watching the silence. The one that watches silence, he is silence. You are listening to my words in silence. My words are not disturbing the silence that you are. If at all, they are helping you focus on the silence that you are. Om Ishaya Namaha. 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 Om Ishaya Namaha.
ஓம் பூர்ணமதஃ பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுகச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி.
Can open your eyes, cup them if you want, and come back to normal thinking.